This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Marlers. This is Chris Eliopoulos. Mike and Michelle are a bit off this week, so I'm going to do a little solo job here. What we're going to do is I figured I would walk you through the parks, make you get a little ambiance in the background and make us feel like we're walking through the parks. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about running this time. We've talked about some of the parks lately, and we haven't been following through with the miles part. So I thought I'd give you a little bit breakdown of how I got started. And for anybody out there who might be thinking about running but is a little bit afraid they can't do it, let me tell you that I am the poster child for if I can do it, anybody can do it. So a little background. When I was born with a little bit of a I don't know if it's a club foot or I'm pigeon-toed, and I get, when I tend to run, my the front part of my calf and the top of my foot, the muscles get really weak really quick. Sometimes my leg will go numb. Sometimes I'm in pain when I run. So as a kid, I tended not to do it, and I chose not to do it for a very long time. And I just got used to the idea that I was never going to run. The doctors told my parents, don't expect him to run. He can walk, but don't expect an athlete. I had to wear those kind of braces you would see on Forrest Gump. Like, I actually wore those braces as a child. And so as I got older, I got married. My wife it was a weird confluence. We had moved into our current home, and right around that time, her father passed away, and she was really upset by it. Now, my wife was a smoker. She had quit smoking a few years prior, but so she also did not run at all. There was no athletic ability in either of us. Saturdays and Sundays were spent going to the diner, eating really horrible foods, coming home, hanging out, and doing nothing all day. And when her father passed, she told me that she felt like she needed to prove that she could be strong without her father. And the way she did that was she started running. She did like this amazing thing. She just walked out of the house one day and started running. And she ran like a few miles that first day and came back. And for some reason, it clicked with her. And she started running all the time. And I was still not on board. I told her, I can't run. That's not what I do. I don't do it. So she would run and run and run. And we had talked. We had started going to Disney by this point with our kids. And it was something we loved. And she kept running. And she was getting longer and longer distances. And she had mentioned, if I was ever going to do anything, I might run the Disney Marathon. That sounds like some kind of goal. And unbeknownst to her, I signed her up for that year's marathon at Disney World. And so she was kind of gobsmacked, like, well, we did it. I got to do it. And she was kind of a little nervous, was afraid that she couldn't do it. But I had faith in her, and she rocked it. It was interesting is the first marathon she did was, I don't remember, I think it was 2008, 2009. It was the year that it was so cold, it was considered the coldest day on record in Orlando. The day before for the half marathon, it snowed. And for the day of the marathon, it got so bad, it was so frozen that the water stations, they had to be careful about around the water stations because it just turned to ice. So me and my sons, we kind of went out there, we cheered, we, you know, started the beginning, and then you take like the monorail and you go to the other park and you kind of wait for them and cheer them on. And we did that, but it was freezing cold, and it was a rough day. But she finished up, and was so happy, and it was so amazing to watch. I kind of got the bug watching this thing. So, like, the Run Disney events, the marathon event, I really said, wow, this is kind of like a lot of fun. I always thought it was bad, but I didn't know if I could do it. And so I attempted to do some running. And my first day, I went out. When I say I ran to the end of the block, I ran to the end of the block, which is, oh my gosh, not even an eighth of a mile. I was winded. I was exhausted. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm never going to be able to do this. So I turned around and came home. And then my wife would go out and she would run, you know, 8 miles and come home, and I couldn't even run to the end of the block. And I think part of it was a competition thing. Like, I was like, if she can do this, why can't I do this? And I chose to go out the next day, and I got a little farther, but I wasn't having it. And after like a week or so, I just like, this is dumb. I can't do this. And I stopped. And then I found this plan called Couch to 5K, which is an amazing thing for people who have never run before. So if you've never run before and you're thinking that you want to get out there and run, I really highly recommend this program. It's a way to do like sort of like the Galloway method, which is like the run walk run method. So I on a whim said, all right, let me try it this way. I think I could run and then walk. Nobody told me that you could stop to walk a little bit. So I started doing this, and I did the program, and after, I think it's 6 weeks, don't quote me, but I think it was 6 weeks, you're able to run 3 miles uninterrupted. It might be 9 weeks, I'm not sure. But needless to say, that's what I did. I got out there, and I started running, and I was able to get through 3 miles without stopping. All great. So wonderful. And I started to actually fall in love with it. One of the benefits of running is, beside the physical, which it did, I actually started to lose weight. I felt better. I slept less because I was more energetic in the morning. I would get up out of bed. But the other thing was a peace of mind. I really learned how to quiet my brain. And it's sort of like, I've said it long ago on the podcast, it was a form of mindfulness. I would go out on runs, and usually around the 5 mile mark, my brain would just stop and I just moved. And it was just like in the moment. Like, I didn't think about what was going to happen later that day. I wasn't worried about the future. I didn't think about the past. I was in the moment. And it's a great experience when you get to that moment. And I just kept running, and I kept going and going and going. And I decided I was going to do the half marathon that year. And my wife was like, it was just an offhand comment. She just said, well, why don't you just do the full? Like, do it all. Why are you even limiting yourself? And I honestly didn't think I could do it. And that was the second real lesson I learned with this, beyond just like thinking you can't do it, is always push yourself a little bit more. I probably could have done the half pretty easily at that point. And the idea of pushing myself further to do a full marathon was a really tough decision to make, but I decided to go for it. And I did better than I thought. I mean, when I got to race day, I will say I struggled the last few miles. I didn't have a real good training plan. My wife is a natural runner. She, like, these days with the pandemic, honestly, she goes out almost every day and runs 11 miles. And if she's not doing 11, she's doing 7. And does it with ease, knock wood. She's only had one injury in our career, but she's amazing, and like, I'm jealous of how much joy and ease she has in running. Like I said, when I run, though, I experience pain. I experience numbness in my leg. It's always a task for me. But there is a point, like I said, with my brain and with my body, that everything just lines up and it clicks, and I'm striving for that every single time. So that first year, she ran the Goofy while I ran the marathon. And I really got into it. I really loved it. And we decided to go back and do it. And I did the Goofy the next year. And it was great. And then we stepped up when they finally did the Dopey. And we did that. And we did the first one. We've done the fifth one. And then on the 20th anniversary of the marathon, so we were excited about this one. The medal was amazing. Now, like, that's the other big thing about the Disney races is the medals. I loved this medal. It was a spinning medal. So the middle of it spun, and I was amazed by it. And we were 2 weeks out of the marathon. We were going out for our last long run. So when you're training for a marathon, usually about 2 weeks out of the actual event, you tap out at your highest distance, and then you taper off a little bit to rest your legs for that day. So we were going out for our final run, and my wife stepped on a rock, and she twisted her ankle and wound up breaking her ankle. So 2 weeks before the marathon, after training for, you know, 6 months, she broke her ankle, and we had to make a decision whether or not to go. And I went. We all went, and she cheered me on. I don't think I've ever been that emotional when running. When I came around, it's like mile 25. You come into World Showcase at Epcot, right in Great Britain, and my wife and my kids were there waiting for me and cheering me on, and it was I was exhausted at that moment, and I don't remember the last mile because I felt nothing, no pain, no, nothing. I just was on cloud nine, and it was an amazing experience. So running for me has turned into a way of life. It's something that I define myself with. I've done a lot of stuff in my career as a cartoonist. I have a TV show. I've done books that have been on the bestseller list. I think nothing has made me prouder than being able to finish a marathon or a half marathon or a 5K or a 10K. And so for me, it's funny. I did not ever see myself this way. My parents think I'm nuts. Like, they were like, you can't run. The doctors told us you can't run. So they're absolutely flabbergasted that I do this. But it's a testament for all of you out there who thought you could never run, or don't think you have the ability, or, you know, you're overweight, or you never thought you could do it. I am the testament that you can do it. So my advice to you would be, look for a couch to 5K plan. Do not expect too much. Just go out and enjoy it. Walk, run. Nobody says you have to run a mile in a 6 minute pace. In the beginning, I was, to be honest with you, in the beginning, my pace was probably 16 minutes a mile. I could have walked probably faster, but it was definitely a learning experience, and you get better. The hardest step is the first step, but once you take that step, every other step is easier. So get out there, runners, and let me know. Shoot us a message. Let us know how the training is coming if you decide to do this. And just know that you've got at least three cheerleaders over here rooting for you to get out on the course and see us in one of the Run Disney races. So thanks for tolerating me. I appreciate it. I hope this was beneficial to someone. But hopefully Mike and Michelle will be back soon. We might have a few more weeks where it might be just me, or I'm going to maybe bring Becky back if she'll have, you know, if she wants to come back. But so that's going to do it for us today. If you like the show, please make sure you hit like and subscribe, and tell your friends about it. And we hope you step up and enjoy, because we're going to try and bring this back. So on behalf of Mike Scopa, Michelle Scrivener-McLean, I'm Chris Aliopoulos, and we'll see you on the road.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time.